So in case this is your first time with us in a couple of weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Facing Your Giants. Together, we've been taking an in-depth look at the biblical character David, from young, lowly shepherd to giant slayer to Israel's king and beyond, all as a means to explore how someone who is held so highly in the tradition of our faith handled his own giant problems, and what we, as folks trying to lead faithful lives today, can learn from his experiences. As we've looked at the story of David over the past 2 weeks, we've realized how important it is not only to name the problems we face in life, but also to embrace the Holy Spirit's empowerment of us within those problems. Whether it be a support system of folks who surround us and uplift us, or maybe it's the ones who remind us who we are in moments of firm but gentle love. In the midst of our problems, God is there, reassuring us of that which we are capable, not but because of who we are, but because of whose we are, because of who God is. And if there's anyone who is certain in this particular moment in the story about who God is, it's David. You may remember if you were with us last week, we listened in on the impassioned insistence of David to Saul that he was capable of fighting the giant Philistine named Goliath despite being the underdog because of who God is. Because of who God had proven God's self to be over and over again in David's life. Because God had rescued David time and time again. David is convinced that just as God has previously delivered him from the throes of other enemies, David says, "The Lord will rescue me from the power of this Philistine." Saul can't argue with that, so he gives David his blessing to go and fight Goliath on behalf of the whole Israelite army. Just before we come into the story this morning, Saul tries to dress David in his own battle gear, but David can't even walk in it, so he takes it off. He grabs his staff, shoves 5 smooth stones into his pocket, and walks with only determination and a slingshot toward the giant. David was in the zone, so to speak. He was focused on the matter at hand, no matter that he's going up against a guy several times his size. No matter that said guy is a trained warrior of sorts. No matter that he's hurling insults at David. No matter that there was no armor on David's body to protect him from whatever violence Goliath was surely going to hurl his way. No matter that David's only weapons were some rocks and a stick with which to sling them. From our perspective, none of that seems to deter or frazzle David. He's got a huge problem staring him down, and David looks back into the eyes of the giant with nothing but faithful focus. I'm wondering this morning if we maintain faithful focus when life's problems pummel us. Because when there's a problem, it's never just one problem, right? Where there's one, there's usually many. When it rains, it pours, so they say. And that's a mentality that is easy to get trapped in when we're facing life's giants, isn't it? Not that it's not true, but sometimes when we focus so much on our problems, we either add to the problem or become a problem for someone else. What's that saying? Goes something like, hurt people, hurt people. And if we're hurting others, not only have we failed to address whatever problem is plaguing us, we're also not living in alignment with who God calls us to be, to and for and with one another in this life. If we ignore that our problems exist, harm ensues. If we refuse to address our problems once we admit their existence, harm ensues. If we focus only on the problem, rather than the one who can help us survive, if not solve the problem, harm ensues. Beloveds, we do not believe harm is compatible with faithfulness. We do not believe harm is compatible with faithfulness, whether we're causing it for ourselves or someone else. In our passage for this morning, David faced his giants by finding his focus. As we mentioned earlier, there were many differences between David and Goliath as far as preparedness and experience goes. It would have been very easy for David to count himself out before he ever began. But the thing about David is, he wasn't worried about what he didn't have. I'm going to say that again. David was not worried about what he did not have. Instead, David was focused on the fact that what he had was the most important in his time of need. God's presence, God's readiness to rescue him, and God's readiness to equip him to face the problem at hand. Not because who David was, but because of who God is. Our God is not a God of scarcity. Our God is the God of abundance. Our God is not a God of scarcity. Our God is the God of abundance. Say that with me. Our God is not a God of scarcity. Our God is the God of abundance. Maybe you think this morning that God's got bigger problems to worry about than yours. Maybe you think God doesn't have time to help you face whatever your giant is. Maybe you think if you were more faithful, there wouldn't be a giant in the first place. I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever giant threatens to hold you captive from experiencing the abundant life God intends for you, it matters to God. Whether it's fear of the future, or financial stress, or uncertainties of an illness, or relational strains, or questions about faith, or whatever it is that's your role to play in God's wild, woeful, wacky, and wonderful story, all of it matters to God. When our focus is on God, God's presence with us, God's care for us, God's equipping us in the midst of life's problems, the smaller and the slower our problems become. Mornings at our house are a bit chaotic right now because Margaret Claire, our infant daughter, is seemingly just days away from walking. Yeah, I hear the giggles from those who've lived this life. She's pulling up on anything that'll sit still long enough, climbing up walls and doors if given the chance, inching around anywhere she can possibly go, whether it's holding on to the edges of couch cushions or clambering up the rest of the family like we're her own personal jungle gym. But speed crawling, as I refer to it, is her fastest transportation mode of late. And it never fails that she zooms from a standstill to speed crawling the moment I take my eye off of her, even for just a few seconds. I was getting the kids ready for school on Friday morning, and I sat her down in the hall to grab something quickly out of our bedroom. Not even 10 seconds later, she was standing up at the coffee table in the living room, just about to knock a cup over right as I got to her. "How did you get here so fast?" I asked her, knowing full well she wasn't going to respond. Her brother, though, who was sitting in the recliner, said without missing a beat, "Because you were distracted." But he's right, though. It's true. The more distracted we are, the bigger things seem and the faster they move, especially when it comes to life's giants. When we let ourselves get distracted from our focus on God in the midst of life's problems, distracted from the truth that our giants matter to God, that's when we become convinced that maybe even God can't handle what we're going through. So we stew and we sulk and we scroll our phones, just sure God will not show up for us in the thick of life's problems. So why bother? And then we really do have a problem, right? If we can't take our problems to God, where are we going to take them? Because it's then that we've robbed ourselves of the opportunity to be rescued by the God who knows us and loves us and calls us by name from the throes of the problem. It also robs us the opportunity of being empowered by God to face that problem by God's side as we are being empowered by God to do so. As we go further in our undertaking of David in this sermon series, we're going to be reminded that David didn't always have his ducks in a row where faith was concerned. He was human, after all. On more than a few occasions, David's focus shifts away from God's rescuing, redeeming, and reconciling power, and instead rests on his own inclinations and impulses, which inevitably leads those around him to experience harm of varying kinds. So if you're looking at this character, David, if you're looking at the story, if you're looking at the sermon series, thinking to yourself, I can't relate to David. He was so faithful and I fall short all the time. Stick around, beloved. You'll see David did too. And therein lies a reminder of God's grace and also our connection to David and our desire to faithfully face our giants. When David focused on his own intuitions and impulses in the midst of problems, he failed. When he focused on God's rescuing and empowering ways in the midst of problems, he triumphed. You're not going to like this or me very much for telling you what we're getting ready to do, but we're going to take the last few moments of our time together in this part of the service to check in with ourselves. And before you huff and puff at me, let's put those breaths to good use, shall we? Get comfortable in your pew. Notice your body there. Close your eyes if it'll keep you from worrying about what others are doing or if they're looking at you. Take some slow, deep breaths. Relax your arms and legs. Unclench your jaw. Straighten your shoulders. Listen to these questions and sit with your answers to them. If it helps you to write them down, feel encouraged to do that. What or who is a giant in my current season of life? What or who is a giant in my current season of life? Am I faithfully focused on facing this giant, or am I distracted? Am I faithfully focused on facing this giant, or am I distracted? What can I do, not next week, not tomorrow, but today, to shift my focus toward God and God's desire that I experience divine abundance in this life so that I can fully embrace who God created, called, and equipped me to be? What can I do, not next week, not tomorrow, but today, to shift my focus toward God and God's desire that I experience divine abundance in this life? God, it is hard to be honest and vulnerable with ourselves. And because you are the foundation of who we are, sometimes it is difficult to be honest and vulnerable, even with you, about what is really weighing heavy on us, about the giants we face. God, we give thanks this morning for David's faithful focus and for the ways that he was able to trust that in the ways you had rescued him and redeemed him and equipped him to face battles before this one with Goliath, that you would be with him and deliver him in this moment. Throughout our lives, we face varying kinds of battles, of problems, of giants. And we just pray that you would help us find our focus in a world and in a life that is so busy and so filled with distractions. Help us to turn back to you, to read scripture, to spend time with you in silence and solitude and in prayer, to be open and honest with someone we deeply care about and experience your spirit with about the things that are weighing heavy on us so that we might feel the relief you desire for us. God, we know in this life that you walk with us and care for us in everything that we face. And we are so grateful that you love us, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We thank you for the means of grace that carry us in times that we're not sure how we'll take one more step. We thank you for the gift of Holy Communion, that we are able to gather at table where all are welcome and wanted by you, so that we may remember that we are loved and that we belong to you no matter what, and that we all belong to each other. Thank you that this table symbolizes for us the forgiveness of sins and new life, that it symbolizes beloved community, that we come and can take a deep breath, remembering that we belong to you, that you go with us, and that you never, ever leave us. As we prepare our hearts for communion, settle our minds, calm them, and help us to tune in to you however you are calling us in the moments ahead. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.